This is one of the most exciting areas to me of training. And I've thought back just today on some of my failures in training departments. And just as I've looked at those, I've seen that God's really used those in my life just to teach me some of the things that I know now. And I think it's really a privilege for me to give this workshop. And I want you to be thinking about some of the ideas that you've had on this. And just be sure to jot down questions or ideas that you have, because later on you're going to have an opportunity to share. These are simply ideas that I have and guidelines. And I hope they're helpful to you, but they're certainly not the only things. Just for your information and just to get you oriented to the session, we'll be talking about, first of all, just an introduction and purpose of training departments, and then selection, and then balanced training objectives, and then a section on evaluation, and then also just a time for you to ask questions and also to answer questions from your own experience. Our goal in the Navigators, according to a fellow I heard not too long ago, in fact, we memorized this goal in Colorado Springs, was the aim of the Navigators is to make disciples and develop disciple makers in every nation. And so one of the diagrams I've seen just on the steps of this, how to do this, is we start out with a person who is a convert. From a convert stage, we do follow-up on a person. And we hope then that this person will become a disciple. That's our goal in the follow-up stages. Okay, and then from the disciple stage, we work on helping a girl develop her skills in helping another person become a disciple. We call that stage the disciple-making stage. When a person has learned the skills of making a disciple, then they become a disciple-maker. And I think this next stage may have been changed, but the name has been changed, but what we're hoping to do after a person then is to give them responsibilities and training that will help them become a leader of disciple-makers, or someone who is helping more than just one disciple. She probably has leadership responsibilities. Now, in this stage here between disciple and disciple-maker, there's a commitment to training. And between these two stages then, the stage of just making a commitment and somewhere along in here, after they've become a disciple maker, to me, that's where apartment training fits in to a girl's training. Now, this has worked out basically for me sometime after they become a senior in college, or even after they're out of college. And I think the important thing here is to remember is just this commitment thing. It's really important that they make a commitment to that training. And we've heard some things about just a well-rounded person. What we're looking for is a well-rounded person, someone who grew as Jesus grew, as it says in Luke 2:52, socially, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And also, we want to help a person mature in Christ, the same idea, the idea of Colossians 1:28, that we teach someone to become mature in Christ. There are several reasons, I think, then, for training in an apartment. One of them is for the girls that you live with to mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Who's got a Bible they can read Colossians 1:10 out of? Just somebody turn to that quickly. And thanks, Sharon. I feel like I'm shackled. Linda, you want to read that for me? Colossians 1:10. No, 1:10. Excuse me. Okay, so just maturing in her relationship with Christ. Another reason for training apartments is for the girls to learn and develop their skills in developing relationships. And to me, this is one of the, not only a key skill that they need to learn, but also a key tool in their training. The developing relationships is really important. And we'll be talking a little more about that later. Another reason for apartment training is for the girls to continue to develop their skills of teamwork and their ministry skills and unity, commitment to the vision, things like this. It's kind of a continuing process of what we hope they've begun to learn as disciples. Another reason for apartment training is for girls to, for you to have an opportunity to give the girls closer supervision in just their personal life and in some of these other ministry skills that we've already talked about. Another reason is to build and develop Christ-like character. And I think this is a thing that is developed easiest in a family type atmosphere that you have in a training apartment, or that we hope we have in training apartments. And I don't really think that every girl that is involved in our ministry should be put in a training apartment. I don't think that's a natural step for every girl that we're involved with. I think girls that we're involved with to a deeper degree, girls that we feel we want to be involved with the Navigators, that type caliber girl is the girl we want in training apartments. And I think sometimes what happens is the girls in the area think this is a natural step. Thank you. It's just, you know, after they've moved out of the collegiate ministry, then the next step is being in a training apartment. And I have a situation in Seattle this year that we have four gals who've moved, who've graduated from college and have moved into an apartment. And those girls, you know, could be possibilities for girls we want to work with, but I'm not sure of their commitment yet. And so I've kind of just held off on moving them into a training apartment simply because I want to give them time to adjust to their jobs and to adjust to life. You know, college isn't too real. They may tell you otherwise, but we know. And so it's important for them to be able to adjust and to see what a training situation is like, so when they move in, their commitment is strong and they won't 3 months down the road decide that this is not what they wanted at all. So I think, you know, just think, keeping that in our minds, not every girl is going to be involved in a training apartment. That doesn't mean she won't get training. This simply means that she won't be involved in an apartment for further training as far as the Navigators are concerned. Okay, I think it's important to know how training apartments fit into a campus ministry. This was one of the things that I was really concerned about when I went to Seattle this year. And I believe that the training apartment is the center of the responsibility for the campus ministry. The girls I live with are basically responsible for the college ministry, as well as myself. And so they have girls they're working with, and I have girls I'm working with that are involved on campus, that are living in the dorms. And so my apartment is the center for the responsibility of the campus ministry. And this makes it easier on me as far as this training is concerned. I know that my priorities are these two gals right here. Or if you have three, those three girls. It also makes it easier on communication. I can communicate to Cheryl and Margaret and with the girls that I'm working with on campus, and that should take care of it. Now I don't have to worry about communicating with 15 different girls on campus. Also, that makes it easy for the apartment to be the center of training. Now, It's not the center of the ministry. The center of our ministry is on the campus. And part of your training experience comes on the campus. But the center of the training itself, it's easy for it to be there in the apartment. And what I've noticed happens in our apartment is when we, you know, are eating dinner, somebody asks a question about something on campus, and so we talk about it at the dinner table. Or, you know, we come in. What's happened a lot this last year is they've come in from campus, and as we've gotten ready to go to bed, they've talked over their problems. Well, this is what happened, you know, today on campus, and how, you know, how do we take care of that? And so a lot of times it's informal discussion in the apartment. Also, just in bringing the college girls into the apartment, either for man-to-man time or helping you clean house, things like this, that makes your apartment the center of training, too. I want to emphasize, though, that the ministry is on campus. Okay, another way that training apartments fit into the ministry is that your pace setting and your standards start in the apartment. And so the girls you live with and you yourself must be doing the pace setting if you expect any girls on campus to pace set. And the standards for your apartment, for your ministry, are going to start in the apartment. So if the girls in your apartment are not keeping standards, the kind of standards you want them to keep, well, the girls on campus won't either. Because whether you like it or not, they look at the girls you live with as the standard. And they look at the girls you live with as the pace setters. And this doesn't mean the girls you live with have to be perfect. If they were, they'd be running the apartment and you'd be. But it does mean that you have to think about that when you think about the girls you're going to live with. And that's why it's important to have the caliber of girl you want to attract in the apartment. I want to talk just a little bit about the importance of relationships within the apartment. I really believe that the atmosphere that you have in your apartment is going to be the atmosphere that you also have among the girls on campus. So if you have tense relationships in your apartment, you're going to have tense relationships on the campus. And one thing that I've experienced is if a girl is insecure in your apartments, in your relationships, if she does not relate well to you or she has problems relating to one of the other girls in the apartment, that may carry over to what she does on campus, because instead of confiding in you and the girls in the apartment, she's going to be confiding in the girls on campus. So it's very important that you develop those relationships. And something that's helped me in thinking about relationships is this business of how many relationships you have when you have four girls in an apartment. Okay, you may already know this, but it's just kind of fun to see what happens here. You have four girls in an apartment, you have a relationship. We had a relationship between Cheryl and Marianne had a relationship with Cheryl, so that makes two. And then as you just diagram them all out, what you come out with is 12 relationships. Because the formula for this is, let's see if I can say this right, the number of girls you have times the number of girls you have minus one. So it's four in this situation times three equals 12. So if you have six girls in the apartment, you've got six times five, and that's 30. I come from a big family, and the other day I was thinking about this because I was home, and I thought, eight times ten of us because of my mom and dad. Nine times ten is 90. I can't believe I even made it. So So you need to think about this pattern or this formula when you think about inviting girls into an apartment. And I really feel that four is probably the maximum. At least that's my capacity. You know, in fact, I'm not even sure four is my capacity sometimes. And I think, too, that it's important not to have so many girls in an apartment that you cannot give yourself to the campus ministry. See, that's what you're there for. So that's another reason I feel four is probably a maximum number. Now, if you have a situation where you have just three of you, it's really important, again, to make sure that all of them develop relationships between them. Last year, I lived with just two gals, and about November, I started noticing that one of the girls I did not have a good relationship with, and she was relating to the other girl great, and the other girl was relating to me very well, but, you know, there wasn't that third, and so I finally had to decide to just make some switches as far as living situation was concerned, and that was good. It worked out really well, switches within the apartment. But I think you have to keep that in mind when you have three. Okay, if you'll take your first handout, I just want to explain this a little bit. What I did with this workshop was look over some notes that I got in Colorado Springs when I was living there and kind of put some things together that some of us worked up. And so this sheet on purpose of a training apartment, that's what that is, basically. And I don't want to go over it with you, but you can have it to look at later. And this is something you could share with the girls that you live with. Okay, let's go to selection. And as I go over this, I want you to keep in mind girls you either have living with you or girls you may be thinking about asking to live with you. The first guideline I feel for selection is commitment. And I think it takes commitment in four areas. And the first area, of course, is to Christ. Has she made a basic lordship to Christ? I think a good, just kind of a good evaluation to use, verses to use for evaluation on that is Luke 14, 25 through 33. Has she counted the cost and decided that she really wants to follow Christ? Does she want to follow Christ for the rest of her life? Does she want to do what God wants her to do? Now, I know that we make a basic lordship commitment, and then there are lordship commitments all along the line. You know, we have to make a lordship commitment about fellows. We have to make a lordship commitment about our job. But has she made a basic lordship commitment? That's the thing we're interested in. The second thing is, has she made a commitment to the New Testament vision of making disciples? Is 2 Timothy 2:2 really personal to her? And is she beginning to develop convictions on this? Or is she just kind of around for the fellowship? And does she not really know what we're trying to do? Is she going to be the kind of a girl that when she gets married, she'll reach girls for Christ in her neighborhood? Okay, the third area of commitment then is to the navigators. Is she committed to the navs for at least the period of time that she's involved? Or does she have a critical spirit about the navs? Is she, you know, kind of, they're okay, bad, or they're good for fellowship? And does she want help in growing and helping others grow? And the fourth area is just commitment to leadership. The verse that I think is important as far as her attitude is concerned in that is Hebrews 13, 17. Is she committed to the NAV leadership and ministry in the area? And in Seattle, our ministry is on the campus. So is she, does she really have a heart tie to that ministry? Is she really interested in that ministry? And does she have a basic trust and confidence in me and an openness to me? I was reading in Joshua the other day, and just Joshua's heart for what God had given Moses to do reminded me sort of what we want in a girl as far as just her commitment to me is concerned. Joshua 11:15. It says, as the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Well, that really takes somebody who's willing to follow you. Okay, let's talk about spiritual maturity. Is she at least a NAV disciple and on her way to becoming a disciple maker? And when I say on her way to becoming a disciple maker, I mean somebody who's really growing and who wants to grow and is progressing. You're not somebody who's become a disciple and they're just kind of hanging around at that point. Has she been involved in the ministry at least a year so that she knows what to expect? And again, this is a guideline. I know there are exceptions to this. And I even think if the girls come around in a collegiate ministry as a freshman or a sophomore, it would be good to even have her around longer than that. And again, and also that depends on her just her chronological age, too. How long has she been a Christian? Is she mature enough to spiritually be involved in an apartment training situation? I don't know about you, but I've gotten letters from girls who, after I read the letter, I realized that what they wanted basically was Christian fellowship. You know, they really didn't want to grow, and that's not a negative on, you know, what their objective was. It was just that what they basically wanted was Christian fellowship. Well, if that's true, then you probably don't want that girl in the apartment. You probably, you know, could suggest that she live with Christian girls. But her objective probably is not to grow. And so if that's true, that, you know, you don't want that type of a girl in your apartment. Recruit her first, and then put her in the apartment. The third area is availability. And I think the areas that are important to check on that is time, her job, money, and age. And on this business of time, is she willing to be a part of the apartment and the ministry schedule rather than just going off and doing your own thing? I think that was my situation when I first started out. I just kind of wanted to go off and do my own thing. Is she willing to check through on things? Concerning her job, does she have a job or will she be able to get a job that provides adequate finances and time available for ministry? And I know sometimes this is a problem, and I'm sure you may have exceptions to this. Like nurses sometimes have problems as far as just getting a daytime job. In fact, that's a real venture of faith for a nurse. Get a Monday through Friday, 7-to-3 job. Money. Does she have a heart to give to the area ministry and to other missionaries? I think this is an indication of whether she really has a heart for what we're doing. And also, is she either free from debts or is she able to pay off debts that she has so that they're not don't have a stranglehold on her? It's impossible to be available. The fourth area is age. If she's too young, she probably won't be very experienced as far as just living in the world is concerned. And you may want to give her a year just to live out with other Christians so she experiences her job and getting along with people and things like this. And I kind of hate to put limits on this because I know there are always exceptions, but when I've thought about it, I've thought that younger than a senior in college is probably too young. And then just the other end of the pendulum would be, is she too old? And again, I hate to set limits, but I think probably the way I think is around 26 or 27. You know, how she is when she moves in, is she younger than that? And again, there are exceptions. And in thinking about that, you need to think, is it realistically possible to give her some good training before she goes out to the mission field? Now, just because she doesn't move into the apartment, you know, because she's older, doesn't mean she can't get good help. I have a girl in Seattle right now who has been out teaching for quite a few years, and she really wants help. Well, because of her age and because of some other factors, I don't really believe she belongs in an AV apartment. That does not mean I don't love her, and it does not mean that I don't want her to get some help. It simply means that I don't really think she belongs in the apartment. And I'd be really excited if that gal, you know, got help this year and got out in the ministry. Because that's our goal, you know, to supply laborers for the mission field. Okay, the fourth area is open and teachable. And some good verses on that you might want to look up later are 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13, and 2 Corinthians 7, 2. Is she willing to listen and learn? Does she have a learner's attitude toward the rest of the girls in the apartment as well as toward me? Because she's going to learn from them also. Will she share openly with me to the best of her ability every area of her life? And if she has an independent spirit, will I be able to help her with that? Or will she kind of, you know, hang on to that? I don't really think independent spirits are bad. I guess from Jody's definition the other night, we would have all, you know, been out of here if that's true. But I think, you know, if a person is willing to yield and to submit that, that's what counts. Okay, let's look at the area of gifts and abilities and qualities we're looking for in a girl representing the NAVs. Is she a potential secretary or office worker? Is she a potential NAV wife? Is she committed to the NAV vision? So if she married a fellow in the Navigators, she'd really be with him? Or is she a potential girls worker? And I'm not really going to elaborate on that. I know that's kind of general, and maybe we can talk about it later if we have time. I think you know what I'm talking about when I talk about potential. When you look at a girl, can you see down the road that she's going to be involved with the Navigators? Is she that caliber girl? Next area is capacity. Does she have the mental capacity to be involved in the ministry? Will she be able to grasp spiritual principles and pass them on? Physically, is she capable of carrying on the ministry? And does she have a basic ability to take some amount of pressure? There is no pressure in this business, is there? Helene said to me one time, I understand you don't like pressure. And I said, that's right. And she said, you better get out of the Navigators. I think another thing we need to think about in this business of selection, too, is a girl coming from another area to live with you or to live in the area. And if you have a recommendation from another leader, like sometimes happens to me. Well, it's very important that you just accept that recommendation. And last year, a girl moved in with me who had been with another gal in Seattle. And so, you know, basically she was a stranger to me when she moved in. That was okay because I had a recommendation from somebody else. And I tried during the summer to spend some time with her because it was important for me to develop a relationship to some extent as ahead of time. But, you know, she moved in and it worked out quite well. The last area is just, is God directing her to be involved with the NAVs according to your thinking and according to your prayer and according to hers? Is God directing her to be involved? I've kind of used a check system for myself, kind of worked up my own so that I could look at it and tell whether, you know, this is the type of gal I wanted in the apartment. And so you may want to just use this whole sheet for one girl. But think about a girl right now that's living with you, so you have practice in doing this. The thing I got excited about in this check sheet was just that this helped me think, you know, that I didn't just look at a girl and say, oh, yes, you know, let's have her in the apartment. But I looked at her and thought about it and prayed about it in the light of some of these things. And usually by the time I got to the end of the list, I'd figured out, you know, yay, I want that girl in my apartment. Or I thought, well, maybe we ought to wait a year. And that's another reason for the comments and recommendations section. Okay, I'm just going to give you some comments that I've made about some of the girls. And that'll give you an idea of what comments you'd make. And if you want to write down ideas on the girl you're thinking in your mind, I think that's the thing that would be most helpful to you. Okay, commitment to Christ. One of the comments I have down here about one of the girls is she's made a lordship decision, but sometimes she has ups and downs in that. You know, she seems to have made a decision, but sometimes just in her demonstration of that decision, I'm not always sure. The second column to vision. And my comment was, yes, I think she's growing in that. She has a heart for the New Testament vision, but she probably lacks skill in that area. Don't write my comments. Think on your own. I'm just giving you some ideas. Am I going too fast? Okay, to the NAVs. The reason I'm going over this with you is so that you won't take this and put yes or no on it or a check. You know, put something down that will make you think. And I've found if I can't think of an example where I've seen this girl demonstrate this, that maybe I don't know enough about her in that area. Maybe I either need to check with somebody else to find out if they know, or maybe I need to get some time with her and find out about that. Okay, then the next area is leadership. You know, have you noticed times that she just doesn't seem, there's a pattern of not being able to submit herself to leadership? Is she not committed to you? And one of the comments I have down here about one of the girls is good. She takes counsel. She's behind us in evangelism and plans for follow-up and things like this. Let's just go over, let's go over the gifts section further down, because I don't think we have time to go over all of them. And remember, this section is gifts, qualities, abilities that we're looking for in someone who's involved with the Navigators. And so what I've written down in that section is just some abilities that I think this gal has. One of them is that she's organized, that she thinks through on things. She's able to take responsibility. She's outgoing and friendly. She has a heart for girls. She seems to have the gift of evangelism. Anything along that line that would help you think about her potential. Again, you may want to vary this. You may want to X out a section or add your own. I don't know if you've ever experienced having a girl move into an apartment, or maybe this happened to you even. You moved into the apartment, and after you'd been there 3 months, you know, this isn't what you thought it would be at all. You know, you might have had a girl express that. Well, you know, when I moved in, I sure didn't think it was going to be like this. You know, it was just totally opposite of what she'd expected, or just totally different. And I think probably some of us have experienced girls moving in that situation and being really not ready for it at all, and either making a decision to move out herself or you making that decision. That's very painful. And so if you can avoid that, it's really good. Okay, let's go to balanced training objectives. How many of you are not familiar with writing training objectives? Is there anybody here who's not? I'm familiar with it, but I don't know how well I do at it. Here's some ideas of training objectives, areas that you can write training objectives in. And girls in the apartment, you'll usually want to write training objectives in three areas: the areas of domestic skills, character building, and ministry skills. And these, again, are just ideas. You'll want to add some to this, and you may want to be even more specific. Like in cooking, you may want to break that down. You know, it takes a long time to learn how to cook. Maybe I can help you by repeating them. Cooking is the first one, and domestic skills. And cleaning. And then menu planning. Budgeting. Hostessing and entertaining. Etiquette is another one in that area. And then in character building, just knowing their strengths and their weaknesses, in the area of self-image and their relationship to God, the sovereignty of God in their lives, maturity, how to develop Christ-like attitudes, and learning submission. And then I think the ministry skills are probably very familiar to you, so I won't go through any of them except the one down here on winning men. One of the girls in the apartment helped me with this, and so we were looking for this kind of a title. And what that really means is not, you know, getting married, but simply being able to relate to guys. And also just understanding how they relate to the, does that help? How they relate to fellas in the ministry, and also to leadership of fellas, how to understand how they think. How we can support them. If you've had practice writing training objectives, then I'm sure you won't have any problems with these. My biggest problems come in the area of writing training objectives for things like cooking and cleaning and all that stuff. What I do is, this is something that I've really had to work on this year, because it's not natural for me to think of a training objective in all three of these areas. That's just not natural. Sometimes that naturally happens, that we do happen to work on these. But I have to work at writing training objectives on cooking and cleaning and self-image and things like that. I think the important thing is that you find out where they are in these areas, and your check sheet on selection will help you on that, just to kind of see where they are. And also, later on when I give you a sheet on evaluation, that will help you too. So be sure you find out where they are. Don't just start off doing something without really knowing the stage of growth that they're in. Everybody finished with this? Also, build on strengths, not from weaknesses. I think you've heard that before. And an example of this is just instead of starting off from the standpoint of a weakness, like lots of times that's the way I think. I think, well, this girl has a weakness in developing relationships. Well, that may be true, but is there a strength in that area that she has that I could build on? And one of the girls that I've helped recently has a weakness in developing relationships, deep relationships. But she has a strength in making initial contacts. You know, she's friendly, and she just has an ability to make contacts. And so what I need to do with her and what I've tried to do is encourage her in that area. In fact, this fall, when we get together in the apartment, I want her to help the rest of us know how to make contacts initially, because that's one of my weaknesses. And I know that some of the other girls have that problem too. So I think I can encourage her by helping her just major on that strength. Now, I've also helped she also knows that she has a weakness in developing deep relationships. So now what I need to do with her is not only develop a relationship with her myself, but take one of those girls she's developed an initial relationship with and help her develop that into a deeper relationship. But that's starting from the weak, from the strength, and going, you know, from there to the weakness. And that's really encouraging to me. And I'm sure you've had that situation happen too. Another thing is, help her with her problems, but don't make this the major emphasis. I think sometimes my tendency is to notice a girl's problems and then dig in, instead of, you know, not making that a major emphasis. Another thing is, accomplish as many objectives as possible in the context of the apartment situation. And what I mean by that is, if you're going over, say in the fall, if you're starting out with house cleaning and you know that these are new girls and that they're going to need help in cleaning house, well, get them all together and discuss how you want the house cleaned and what standards you expect and things like this, and get them to tell you what standards they expect. And then even have them help you write an objective for the whole apartment. And then they're involved, and you're doing, you know, one thing for four people, and it just saves you time. And even though you found out where they are as far as just some of the objectives you want to accomplish, don't assume anything. I think it helps to question them and to get their ideas and just find out where they are as much as possible. And I don't think repetition is bad for any of us, as long as it's not too much. Another thing I think is important in objectives is, even though, especially in the domestic skills, even though it's their home and you want them to know that and you want them to feel that, impart to them your way of doing things so they have a method, so that they know a way of washing the bathroom floor, or so that they know, you know, this is the way you make white sauce or whatever it is, you know. And that's one thing I really appreciated about living in someone else's apartment, because when I know their way, then I have a method and I can compare it, you know, to what I want to do. Doesn't mean I can't change it, simply means I have a method to evaluate and to adapt to my own personality. Okay, what I do when I work on these three areas, I do work on all of them at the same time. I try to take an objective for each girl, and that may mean that that I have just one objective, like maybe on house cleaning that I mentioned before, that all four of us are working on. So that takes care of one area for all four of us. And then I might have another, in another area, like character building, I might be just working on individual things. In fact, I think that's the area you'll find most of all you're working on individual things that pertain to their own personal needs. So I don't work on all three areas the same way or with the same intensity. Otherwise, that's 3 easy steps of how to drive both of you up the wall. And I think the exciting thing is that God often brings to your mind as you pray about the girls, and even as they pray, you know, about what objectives he wants them to accomplish. And that's exciting, because then it's not your thing, it's yours and God's and hers. And to look back at the end of the year and see objectives accomplished, that's exciting. We all sit around and talk about our strengths and our weaknesses and, you know, embarrassing things that have happened to us and what's going on in our hearts right now. And so I tend to be very open with them on their objectives. I do that because I think they can see progress then. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions to that, but I tend to share them with them. Roberta just said that that tends to make them feel secure. That's good. And I just personally would rather know what a person is thinking and what they're helping me with. You know, personally, that just gives me confidence in them. And also just, you know, helps me trust them. Something that's been helpful to me this year, just on evaluation to start out with, is personal history of the girl. And what I've written out on personal histories is how old they are when they became a Christian, what kind of training situations they've been involved in, training programs, responsibilities you've given them. And the reason I started this is this year, one of the regional directors came to my area and they wanted a sheet on the girls I live with in the apartment that had some of this information. And so I just had to talk to them and say, when did you become a Christian, you know? And I knew a lot of that stuff, but some of it I really didn't. And so I just decided that for my, you know, ready reference, I needed to know those things. So I don't have anything, you know, any formal way of doing that. I just wrote it down on a piece of paper that I could keep in my notebook and have. Sometimes I think we have problems with evaluating. I really see that evaluating is important just to see where you're going. And also to decide, you know, if you're really accomplishing your objectives. And Romans 12:3 talks about us looking soberly, you know, at our own selves. And also Galatians 6:4 says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. And another verse I like on that, just as far as evaluating someone else, is Proverbs 27:23. And in the RSV it says, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. And to me, that's what evaluating is. It's just knowing the condition of the girls that you're helping. I think, too, it's important for thanksgiving to God, just to see what God has done in their lives. And then encouragement for you and for her. So when God's working in our lives, that's encouraging. If you're like me, sometimes you need all the encouragement you can get. I like to evaluate 3 times a year if possible. I don't always get it done, but that's kind of what I work at. And one time is in December. And another time that I like to evaluate, although this one is, you know, sometimes not necessary and you may just not have time to do it. The second time is in March. And then the third time is in May or June. And you'll notice on this evaluation sheet that I have them divided in 3 sections. And so if you decide that you only want to evaluate twice a year, then probably what you need to do is just incorporate the March one in the May and June. I think it's important for her to evaluate with you some of the time. You know, you need to have your own thoughts and you need to write those down, but she needs to evaluate with you. And so you'll notice that the section is in December, her evaluation, and then there's a section, your evaluation, the leader's evaluation. And then in March, the same thing. You need to know what she thinks One thing I might point out in this evaluation, I think it's in December, what summer training situation could help her? And number six, at this time, how do you feel God is leading, or do you feel God is leading her to a further involvement with the NAVS? And if so, in what capacity? And the reason I put those in December is because I really believe that's the time you need to start thinking about that, especially the summer situation.